Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
To the 15th episode of It's a Code World. I'm here today with Matt Benyo. Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
It's going good. Today we're gonna be talking about five core things that you need to start killing it with your personal brand. And I believe that I've successfully launched a personal brand. It's been about 5 years since I started. And I have taken a lot of time and thought to consider these ideas. And I know that you're somewhat at the beginning of your journey with
this. I am, yeah.
Matt's brand is about, you know, video, and he works with companies doing video for them. And his company's called OpenEye Visuals, kind of up and coming in Minneapolis here. And I almost want to do this podcast a little bit differently in that I'm going to be talking a little bit more to Matt in that he's beginning this journey, and I want to kind of share my best ideas with him and kind of get feedback and questions from him, and hopefully some of this will be of value to you as the audience. So the first thing I'm going to start with here is five hustle habits for a new business online. So five hustle habits for a new business online. I would start, number one, with the easiest thing possible, which is social media. I'm going to say consistently provide value on social media and do little tutorials kind of at a high level without technobabble. Create value in your industry, in your niche, and really kind of share the value with the other people you know. Start with that base of power. All these people that you're already aware of, your family.
So the audience is your peers?
Yeah, the audience is your peers. It's also just your close friends and family. It's also whoever has followed you so far on social media.
Got it.
Start to connect more with people. Start to follow people that are in your industry, but also part of your core demographic. So like if you are going after a business owner or something like that, you know, intentionally reach out to business owners. That could be on LinkedIn, that could be on Instagram, that could be on Twitter. Ideally all three, maybe. I don't personally use Facebook, my personal page, that aggressively.
Okay.
However, I know some people that do. It just feels weird to me.
Yeah.
So I do promote posts on my Facebook page, but other than that, I'm really just trying to share value and see how that works out. It's worked out in the past, let's say 7 months, I think. 8 months, it's worked out to the tune of $37,000 off of social media.
Wow.
As far as new business signed and completed and paid. So the second thing that I would do is write every day in some shape or form and get used to publishing. So this really, I'm talking in general about your own personal blog of some type. Why do I think that's so important? It's like almost a little old school, right? A blog.
Yeah.
I mean, blogs got really big a while ago, and I think that they kind of blew up a little bit and kind of faded out a little bit. But they're not necessarily in fashion, but they're crucial for search engine optimization and getting your website ranked. As far as constant or, you know, rhythmic content going out on that website and showing the search engine, but also showing random people that come to your website that you are a thought leader, that you're interested
prolific
in this. Yeah.
And
you're always kind of sharing value. Number three, tweak your website and add case studies and write service page content. So you'll notice, I think three of the things here talk about writing.
Yeah.
Writing is huge, man. Writing is massive. So if there's anything I can suggest for you, it's to write more and raise your prices. No. So tweaking your website, that means changing things visually as you see what other people are doing, as you see what you feel like will work, and then over time you'll get a basis for what actually works. But a lot of it is including more visual representation of things that will help people trust your company. So that might be, you know, organizations you're a part of, clients you've had, testimonials, reviews online, you know, any other things that you can put on there that will help people trust you.
Yeah. Well, I can see how like a blog, because you were talking more about the search search engine optimization side of it, but I can see how having a blog, putting things up regularly, how that would in itself like show like, oh, this person is productive, especially for me, like as a video person, if I'm putting out a lot of content, it shows that like I've got fast turnaround time probably, like I know what I'm doing.
Exactly. And if you also like ever have been to a service, a person who's in the service industry of some type, let's say like it could be a, you know, a construction company, could be a massage therapist, it could be a psychologist, and they have a blog, but they haven't posted in 3 years.
Right, you're like, what happened? Yeah.
You know, like, are they out of business?
Yeah.
I'm not really certain if this person is, like, alive or well or anything like that. And it's kind of a way to just show face.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to show face because it also helps your search engine optimization. But the service pages on your website should not be neglected. So I'm talking about 700 plus words, making sure that there's ample content so that Google can crawl that page and really know what it's about. And that means using the main keyword phrase that you want that page to rank for like 5 times throughout, bolding it, italicizing, putting it in your subheads. That means including it in your image, the image file name in the alt text. Oh, that means putting it in meta titles and descriptions. That means making your service pages content rich. And also, you know, alternating images so people actually want to sit on them and read on them. And there's a lot of opportunity there to really do just a bit more than your competition and just a bit more than the other personal brands in your industry.
Yeah.
And frankly, most people don't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you, to me, these are habits. These aren't just one and done things. So this is a habit of getting used to changing things on your website and adding more content on your service pages and maybe even including more services that you do. Maybe there's subservices of the main service and so on. Another thing that I would do is a habit, mind you. Number 4 is write on other people's websites. I've talked to you about this before, Matt. To me, the biggest thing is that you get to not only share your expertise with a new audience, you could also possibly introduce your service or your product at the bottom of the page and link back to your website. And to me, this is just as valuable as getting out to a new audience. Is, you know, when you're able to do this on websites that are well frequented, that they have a good amount of traffic, it really can help push authority. Not just like people clicking through on that link, but evidence to search engine algorithms that your website is of high value. And the more you can do this, you're essentially allowing Google and Bing and other search engines to see this is a good website, this is a good web page.
It has influence,
for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So that is one thing that those algorithms do well. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but that is one thing that they do well is they can see those metrics for the quality of websites. And you're kind of gaming the system a little bit there, but you know, I'm really trying to help you game the system. So number 5 is build rapport. Get out in the real world, bring people to lunch, give gifts to current clients, and network like a beast. So some of the things that I've noticed lately is when I am doing things out of the goodness of my heart, like let's say a client signs up for something and I give them fresh cookies or something in the Twin Cities and a couple other areas, there's something called Tank Goodness that allows you to give warm cookies and milk to people. So I've done that recently. I've done it even when I'm not sure that somebody's going to sign or I'm not sure that they're going to give me a referral, but I'm doing it, you know, you're trying to do
karma,
it without,
business
karma. I mean, it's a little direct, but you're not trying to be overt with it. You're trying to do it no matter what. And I'm not going to be mad if somebody doesn't do business with me. I've also given gifts. Dude said that he loved my back. He said that his son would love my backpack. Something like my backpack. I sent him, sent him the backpack the next day.
Okay.
And they hadn't signed yet, mind you. So this was like a thing where I'm just like, I'm kind of hoping. And the funny thing was, they ended up signing before I got there. That's happened a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're kind of giving
it's
gifts.
Like, then becomes a welcome gift.
Yeah, so this is bordering on sales. But you know what I mean? Like, personal brand is partly about sales. So learn sales. And learn to build rapport with people in your industry, even when they won't necessarily directly benefit you. And I've been doing that, and it's been very helpful. People that, in even that do the same thing as you. Reach out to them, have lunch, take them to lunch, pay for their lunch, be respectful and compliment them when they do things well. And these types of things do pay off in the end. It's not immediate all the time. And honestly, if you think about it in the long game, if you think about it in the 5 and 10 year game, your personal brand is gonna do better. So, okay, so now that we've gone over some of these general habits, let's kind of like dig in a little deeper. So what questions do you have? I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but what questions do you have about social media and using that for your business? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you talked a lot about engagement, following people, making those kind of connections. One thing I was curious about is, are you talking like more passive engagement? Or are you talking like direct engagement, where I'm like sending someone a message being like, hey, I see that you do this. Like, do you have video for your website?
Man.
Or is it more just like, you know, commenting on something that they posted or?
So I would do passive engagement first and then potentially graduate to active engagement as it heats up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like, you don't just go ask a woman if she wants to make out, right?
Yeah.
You want to compliment her first. So to me, that's the, hopefully. So the point is that you're kind of, you know, in that case, you're maybe commenting on some of their well done work. Like, for instance, for me, it's construction companies right now that I really want to connect with. I love construction companies. I like working with them. I feel like they're great people. I've just enjoyed working with them. So I'm, and I've had success. So I'm kind of like commenting on their Instagram. I'm like interested in the work they're doing. I'm like, that looks great. I make sure that they know that it's a real comment. You know what I mean? That there's so much spam out there. I just don't suggest doing the kind of Instagram comment spam. I just, I can't imagine that people don't catch on to that and don't smell inauthenticity and kind of like, So I think you need to be authentic with it, but I think, like, to me, one of my habits is to go on people that are in my prime demographic and do 5 comments or comment on 5 different people a day.
Okay.
And to me, if they like starts to be a little like, they're like in my stuff, I'm like in their stuff. You know what I mean? There's the there's like a weird kind of social media rapport going on. Then I might slide into their DMs in a B2B way.
It's a
business to business way.
A low key seduction.
Yeah. a low key business to business seduction. So I really think it's the passive and then maybe active when there's some rapport. Hey man, if you want to be aggressive, but I really do think the soft approach and then the hard approach is better.
Well, it's funny because that makes me even think of like how you and I met. Like, it was like a pretty casual conversation, and I don't think either of us like, but it was like this like kind of unspoken thing where it's like, you're talking about your business, I'm asking you questions about that, I mentioned that I have a business and I'm trying to grow. And then, like, that just kind of led to this, like, well, let's talk more outside of this environment somewhere.
Exactly. And part of my thing is, man, if you believe in what you're doing, if you really think what you're doing is awesome, then it shouldn't hurt you too much to broach a conversation that's direct about what you do and how you'd like to do it for them. Like, the old school idea that I've had of sales, like, even as up to a couple years ago, was that if I'm kind of directly asking somebody for business or going in, like, I'm kind of like asking for a favor.
Yeah.
Like, please do this and work with me.
Yeah.
No, that's not what it is at all. It's like, dude, what I do is good. What I do is badass.
Yeah.
And what I do will help your business grow.
Yeah.
And so I shouldn't feel bad at all. And I've been working on that. I don't feel bad at all talking to people and saying, you know what, you probably should do business with me. There's actually a lot of people that do the same thing that I do, and they're not very good.
Yeah.
And I want to save you from that by doing it for you. So in your case, video, like, you kind of got to get to that point. And I think of it as being sold on your own product. You got to get to that point where it's like, it comes out naturally, where you have to tell people, and where you're excited about it because you're like, I know that video will help people. I know that by doing video, it's going to grow their business. I'm telling you that it's guaranteed. If you do business, if you do video consistently for your business, that it's going to create value. So if somebody's out there watching this or listening to this, please contact Matt at OpenEye Visuals. And he's going to help you with your business, especially if you're in the Minneapolis area. There's a lot that you can do with video. It's going to create value for your business. I'm just so convinced in both the value of what you do and for me, for websites, that it's of value. It's okay to kind of directly approach that. And I like being in that mindset. It's a lot more fun than where I used to be, which was like, maybe I can do business, or maybe I can make you a website, and like just not being as confident about it. And sometimes it's just reminding yourself how much their business could increase by working with you. And if it's a product, if you have a product or a B2C business to customer business where it's a little bit more direct, you need to still be sold on that product or that service to direct customer. You have to figure out what about your service you can make better if it's not to that point, and make it as awesome as you possibly can so that you're like just enthusiastic to talk to everybody. To me, that's part of it.
But no, I mean, it's interesting what you're talking about being direct, because it's funny, like I feel like I've lost it a little bit, but like I kind of got into the business, don't really know where I had the cojones for this. I was like finishing up university, I was a cinema minor, you know, had worked on a couple projects, feel like I had a good aesthetic. I was working for this business owner, like as a delivery driver, making like $9 an hour. He owned like 5 or 6 restaurants, and he had these TV commercials, and like they just were kind of shit, like they sucked. And it was just kind of this inside joke, and he was in all of them for some reason, because it was just the cable company had shot them. And I had this play, like my last semester that I wrote, it did really well, it got a lot of hype. Somehow he'd heard about it, and like I was working one day and he came up to me and was just like, hey, I heard you had this play that did really well, and was like complimenting me. And I just like, don't know where it came from, but I was just like, you should let me remake all your TV commercials. And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I don't know. I just don't think they're very good. I think they could be a lot better.
Yes.
And I want, you know, I want to have that opportunity. And so I think I caught him off guard just by how direct I was. And like from that commitment, I like spent the last of my student loans, bought all my film equipment, and like in one summer shot 5 TV commercials, and like had that all paid off. And not only that, like, I left shortly after that, but apparently I disrupted the cable company's model, because like they totally copped my style and changed how they were doing their commercials. Nice. And like, you know.
Man, that to me is such an inspiration. If you think about all the people out there that kind of haven't reached that moment yet, that maybe they're working for somebody else and they're essentially in the point where they don't feel comfortable being their own advocate.
Yeah.
And how just that one scenario, maybe the next time they get in a situation where they have an opportunity with somebody in front of them to be useful, mind you, not just to sell that person on your services, which it is selling, but you have this opportunity to be useful, that you could improve what they're doing significantly.
Yeah, I wasn't lying to them. I knew I was gonna, you know, I hadn't made a TV commercial prior to that moment, but I knew just on what little I, you know, knowledge I had and aesthetic, that like he was gonna end up with a better product than what he had.
Exactly. And so many people out there that could have that moment soon, that they could have an opportunity in front of them soon, and they could just actually advocate for themselves and really understand that it will be being useful to somebody to do something better than what they currently have. I just want to encourage you all to maybe push yourself to do one thing like that this week. So let's move on here to getting used to getting to publishing, to writing.
Yeah.
Writing content about your niche, about your service. Do you have any questions about that, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, because I totally understand the value of that. It's really been tricky for me to visualize what that looks like for my business. Yeah. Am I talking about a new camera that came out? Am I talking about this is what, you know, how video can affect your business? Am I talking about, you know,
that
camera technique? Do you think that's the one?
I think yes. I think this is a trick that I've been considering lately. I do think it's useful to be useful to your tribe.
Yep.
So other people doing video. However, I leaned way too far in that direction when I first started doing web design content.
Got it.
And other designers. I was doing stuff for other designers. I like you, other designers. Some of you that might be out there that have watched some of my content, I hope. But the thing was, is I would lean so heavily in that direction that I realized – I was neglecting the business owner that I really want to reach, and the marketing person in an organization that I really want to reach. So I kind of have shifted my content to be more directed towards those people. And I'm still somewhat useful to designers because so much of this is essentially just how to promote yourself.
Yeah.
And so much of my content is how to make your website better. And that's useful for other designers as well and stuff like that. But the thing is that I really think it's thinking about those people that are most likely to use your service and to just think about the questions that they have about video. Like, it might be more on the side of beginner stuff. Beginner stuff for video. And really owning that niche and really explaining how to use video for a business.
Mm-hmm.
Getting, to me, it should be a series of videos on and of blog content that you've written on that topic. Got on it. How to get into using video for your business. How to create maybe a video course. How to use video and email together. How do you use social video
to sell for the business? So it's not necessarily this heavy-handed, like, I am the solution to all of your problems.
No,
it's more empowering them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing that I think people might not always realize is you educate and then you sell.
Yeah.
Educate, 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 sell. So that's Gary Vaynerchuk's concept of jab, 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 right hook. You know what I mean? So you're giving value, giving value, giving value.
Yeah, and now they almost owe you something.
Psychologically. Part of it from Gary Vaynerchuk's perspective is not thinking of it quite that way. Not thinking that they owe you something. Although I know what you're saying. There's rapport building and there's
Yes.
There, but not thinking of it that way, because it's kind of crucial, because it's ask.
Yeah.
The it's not take.
Right.
It's ask. So the right hook is ask.
Right.
And I think that there's a really critical distinction there.
Yeah.
But the point is that you have to educate, educate, educate. And you are empowering, empowering, empowering. The thing is that they run a business, and your particular situation is business to business, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you might be able to do other types of video and stuff like that. But business to business in general, and you want, you know, a lot of people are trying to do it themselves, and you can empower that for a while, and then at a certain point, it becomes...
They understand what's missing.
Yeah, because, and they also see your professionalism and your ability to know how to handle video in all situations for businesses, and then you can essentially take over from there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're empowering, empowering, empowering. At a certain point, they're not a professional.
Yeah.
And they would like somebody to take over. For me, that's looked like I'm empowering people how to make tweaks on their existing website. Maybe it's on Wix or GoDaddy Builder or some kind of theme on WordPress or Squarespace. And they're essentially like making tweaks.
And then they start to see the limitations.
There is limitations.
And
they'll realize, like, maybe I just want a professional to do this. And that is... I'm trying to empower them to go the entire way for themselves. And that's how I can create so much content, because there's so much lush information that I'm using on a regular basis that they could potentially use. But at a certain point, a lot of people understand that they are not a professional in your industry, and that maybe they should work with a professional. And since the person that's been educating them is also doing this as a service, maybe the person that's educating them might be the best person to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the simple, simple system that anyone can use. And to me, a big piece of that is writing, and writing on those topics every day. So the third one is tweaking your website, adding case studies, and writing service page content. So on this particular one, this goes for any industry, it's not just web designers. You should be essentially kind of making some changes on your website and getting service page content out there, but also just figuring out new improvements to make on your website. So do you have any questions about that?
I mean, I guess I don't quite understand how that applies in my case.
Yeah. So I guess my thing is you have sub-services.
Yeah.
So
it's so like maybe I want to, now I can do aerial photography.
Yeah. In Matt's case, he's got, you know, you're doing what? You could do a whole service page on tutorials and courses.
Okay.
You could do something on, you know, commercials for television. Mm-hmm. You could, and each of these should have 700 words. You could do aerial photography as you add that service. But there's a number of other things that people refer to what you do as. It doesn't necessarily have to be what your industry uses as a separation between services.
Okay.
It's really about what other people are referring to what you do as. So you start to see somebody, like when somebody maybe you talk to says, do you do this?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't call it that.
Right.
It's like, that's an opportunity for a service page.
Yeah.
Because they call it that and probably other customers do.
Right.
And there's other ways to do keyword research to essentially dig up more terms that people could use. So I use a tool called Ahrefs or Ahrefs, and it's Ahrefs.com. And it's a great way to kind of look at what your competitors are getting for their terms. So like a lot of times a really great way is just to figure out three people that do the same thing as you and then search their website on Ahrefs and essentially figure out what their top terms are. There's probably like 10 things that they're getting business for off of their service pages, and you kind of use those too. So I'd say, what do people refer to it in casual conversation?
Right, yeah, because you can't expect everyone to know the industry jargon.
Yeah, and you don't want to focus on that industry jargon. That's the crucial piece. You want to focus on what other people are referring to it as.
Got it.
And then essentially what people are searching in Google. So those things can kind of guide that process of building out the content on your website.
Okay.
And the tweaks thing, really, like, you know, I talked about ways to help people trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what people, you know what, when you say it in conversation, people go, maybe I should work with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, well, I've done, you know, 100 videos for that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you, for your service.
Yeah.
Whatever. You have a bunch of case studies, or you can kind of share those verbally with them.
Yeah.
If it's something that's persuasive in general, I'm part of this organization and this organization, or I can give you a list of like happy clients mm-hmm. or things like that that you would potentially use to get business in person. Those are the types of things you want to add more of those to your site.
Yeah.
So I call them trust factors. But trust is so important.
When you and I met, I mean, like, I don't remember you looking at samples of my work or anything like that. Do you remember anything that I said, like, of what I've worked on that interested you?
I mean, to be honest, Matt, it's so funny because it's really, like, it was about the fact that you did it.
Yeah.
And I found you.
Yeah.
And so that's a concept. I mean, that's important, like, in the concept that I found you and that you did it and that I didn't think that you were exorbitantly priced or anything like that. Essentially those three things. Yeah, so a huge piece is referrals.
Yeah.
And referrals are crucial because, you know, it's not just that, you know, our businesses, none of them exist in the online vacuum.
Yeah.
We have friends and we have acquaintances and we run across people in business situations or at work or what have you. I think to me a huge place to start is whatever you're currently doing. So if you're already working in an office somewhere or working at Apple or working, like, you start where you're at.
Yeah.
And you start to overlap something that is concurrent and works well with what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
And there's almost efficiencies because they work together.
Mm-hmm.
So you use the connections that you already have in your existing thing and you start just adding one little stream of income on the side.
Yeah.
And it works together with the other one. It doesn't hurt your other thing. You're not going way over here and starting from scratch. You're starting where you're at and you're overlapping and you're providing value to the people around you. If there's any way to like amp up or do something on the side of what you're currently doing to create a new source of income and to start developing this personal brand or this business, that's the spot to start. And I think you build rapport with those people that you come across, you're getting out in the real world, you're kind of like, to me, like, it does take like sending that email to somebody that's in your industry that you want to learn from.
It
requires like, hey, how could I be useful to you? Maybe I won't get paid as much, but because you're really good at what you do, I want to learn from it.
Yeah, I want to be associated with you. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think this last one has a lot of parallels to the first one. That one being in social media, this one being a little bit more in real life.
Yep.
It's just that it's being out there. It's, you know, making connections and having those conversations and just being, you know, a useful person.
Like, how nice would it feel if somebody emailed you and just said, hey, I think what you do is awesome, and I just want to, like, have a conversation. Maybe I can learn a little bit.
I got one of those emails recently, yeah.
So when somebody does that for you, you don't hate it.
No.
And it's like, hey, maybe that means for the people that you respect, you can do it, and you don't have to feel bad.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, really kind of being more intentional about creating those new connections with people that you deeply respect and getting around people that are a little bit higher caliber than you. And sometimes that involves free work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that involves being a little cheaper. And sometimes that involves kind of putting yourself out there in a way to be of service to those people. So it's like,
yeah.
Now I'm around a higher caliber of person who's kind of pushing on their business or what have you. And, you know, it's like, and I'm talking about giving gifts to current clients, and maybe even asking for referrals and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the pattern here? It's like, give, you know what I mean? You still gotta, you want to give, and you're not expecting a ton in return. Don't expect to give a gift to a client and like be mad if they don't do what you wanted them to do. But it's like, part of it is giving and not necessarily expecting a return. But if you get in that habit, there's always, you start to see, dang, this works. Like, this generally works as a principle. Like, it, like, you kind of have to, like, do something. You have to practice this before you understand why it works. Some of these things, like, I always, like, I'm always kind of talking about search engine optimization. Some of them, it's like, you do, and then you see the return. It's a lot, like, it takes experiments to figure it out. But, like, for me, one of those tried and true methods to growing my business has been giving to people, not expecting a return. And you see the return over time, but it's a little less obvious. And it's hard to say that as, like, a, you know, a how-to.
Yeah.
Because you don't exactly get how it works. I don't get how the universe works, man.
Yeah.
You try to have a generous spirit.
Yeah.
And it seems to work out.
Well, and then I would say, like, in between there and, like, getting paid for work, you also have, like, non-monetary trade and stuff like that, too, where it's like, you know, like, I will work for you, I'll, you know, apprentice under you, I'll make, you know, videos if you, the more professional video person, maybe, you know, spend a little bit of time mentoring me and helping me with my whatever. So it's like, there are ways to still get value and still feel like you have this aspect of generosity, but still get something out of it.
And I would say the best people in their industry are not going to let you get away with that for long. They're not going to let you get away with being free for long.
Yeah.
They're going to start to want to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is like, I've had people that have essentially been like, please let me do something for you. I just want to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then they keep on doing that. I'm like, okay. And I keep on doing that. I'm like, damn, dude, I gotta hire you or something.
Yeah.
Like, you keep on doing all this work.
Is it
for
their
me.
Job to ask, though?
I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like, they're not, it's not necessarily a job, but it works.
Right.
And I do think, like, every time I've tried to, like, just work with somebody in some way, shape, or form, like, people that are professional, they tend to want to pay you.
Yeah.
Even if it's not immediately. You know what I mean? Because we understand, like, especially if you're good at what you're doing, that, yeah, that's value, and I want this person to stick around and that kind of thing. It's like, the person I saw, like, I heard this story recently on an audiobook or something that was like, yeah, this guy just kept on, like, coming into the shop and, like, folding clothes for them. It was like a retail store.
Okay.
Like, he's like, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, he just came in and folded clothes the next day, and then, like, two or three days later, they're like, well, we need another person. Man, why don't we just hire this guy? You know what I mean? Like, this is like kind of an anecdotal story, but it's like,
but it's kind of like the dress for the job you want, but to the extreme. It's just like, just start doing the job you want.
Just start doing the job.
I'll pay you.
And I think that, like, people get it twisted, because I know that there's a bunch of people on Twitter that always talk about people that ask for free work all the time.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's their thing. That's their MO.
Yeah.
That type of person kind of sucks and is kind of annoying. But you got to know that, like, this is a little bit different. We're talking about potentially putting yourself out there and offering, not somebody randomly approaching you about a project and then being, do this for the exposure. Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. If you're doing that as a business owner, there is a half-life for that, and it doesn't necessarily look good on your business. So it's kind of a balance. And I'm talking about putting yourself out there as a
person. You're the one empowered making those decisions. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've heard, like, Tim Ferriss talks about that, like, just, like, reaching out to people that are up here and just offering to, just giving them value and, you know, establishing yourself that way. And
absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff you can do online. A lot of it has to do with writing. A good chunk of it has to do with sharing yourself liberally on social media and being available and being in front of people and giving value. And some of it has to do with meeting people in real life. So get out there, go for a walk today, introduce yourself to somebody new, be involved in organizations in your industry, and just share what you can, because you're usually a little bit ahead of somebody, at least. Even if you're starting out, you're a little bit of somebody ahead of somebody, and you can always kind of help them along a bit. And that's really the principle that starts to compound, you know what I mean, as you go further in your journey, and you're kind of helping somebody along a bit, mm-hmm. and you're helping somebody else along a bit, like, and then it compounds over time, and it helps. And it helps your personal brand. It helps your business. I hope some of this has been useful to you. Thank you so much for joining me, Matt, for this podcast. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting me kind of wax poetic on some of these points. Where can they find you online?
We are working on launching a website very soon. It's openeyevisuals.com. You can also currently catch me on Instagram. It's open.i.visuals.
And you can check me out on Twitter at TimBDesignMPLS and on Instagram at TimBDesign. And at TimBDesign.com, right now you can actually get a free website improvement report. And I am excited to get those out to people. So if you want to check that out, TimBDesign.com. Looking forward to our next podcast, and thank you for joining us.
You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent so much time stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on, you gotta.
Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO, to work process tips and working with clients,